Pastor of Freedom House for One Church in multiple locations, Fullerton, Irvine, online in Espana. Would you clap and welcome our Irvine campus? What's up, Irvine? Love you so much. And so, in case you didn't, just to update what my preaching schedule looks like on Sunday is I preach live at 8:30 and 10 a.m. at Fullerton campus, and then we live stream to 10 a.m. over to our Irvine campus. And then at 11:45 a.m., I preach live. I drive over to our Irvine campus and preach there. And then sometimes I'll come back y predico en español. I'll preach our Spanish location. If you hablan español, invita a alguien y predico en español puro fuego sometimes. And then our campus pastor. And then sometimes I'll do our starting point of going to meet our new guest. And then tonight, though, for my birthday, we're going to have a revival night. So if you want to come on out at 5 p.m., they're like, what do you want to do for your birthday, Pastor? I'm like, I want to just have a revival night. That's what I want to do. I want to worship God. So tonight I invite you if you want to come on out. And also they contacted one of my old friends who had been friends, actually is a minister of music when Freedom House first started back in the Brea building. And he does music and sings powerfully. And so we'll have tonight a recording artist, Pastor Melvin Sanders, coming down. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And so if you want to just come and hang out and worship God and hear the word, we'll do that. If not, it's all good, but we're gonna party. I'm gonna be here and welcome to my birthday party. Come on, somebody. I'm 41 years old. I'm 41 today, so praise God. I feel good. So I'm excited to preach God's word. As you remain standing, grab your Bibles and let's jump into the word of God today. And today is we're gonna begin a new series of messages regarding legacy. Someone say legacy. And what I want to talk about is, you know, we're in a season of legacy, of miracles, and I really want us to personalize that of what it means to our families, what it means to our personal lives, and because the question is never if you're leaving a legacy, it's what type of legacy are we leaving? And I believe the greatest legacy you can leave as a man, as a woman, as a family, is a legacy that has history with God. And so I want to talk about that over the next coming weeks, and I really pray it speaks to you at a multi-generational level. I want to read Psalm 78, and this is some verses that, man, have just blessed me recently. Of course, I've read them before, but have just come to life in a new way, and I pray it really becomes a personal scripture to you. Psalm 78, I apologize, verse 5, watch what the Bible says. It says, he decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law where? In Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach who? Their children. Now watch verse 6. It says why? So that the next generation would know. Tell your neighbor so the next generation would know. Come on. It's so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be unborn. And they in turn would tell their children. And watch verse 7. This is the end game or the end result. It says then they would put their trust in who? God. And would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. This is legacy. I love how it says, so that the next generation would know. So they would know what? That they would know that God is the miracle worker. So they would know what? That God is the healer. So they would know what? That God is the one who saves and restores and redeems and renews. We have a calling to let the next generation know. I want to talk to Zach about that. Tell him as today is so that the future generation would know. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And again, we gather this morning not to hear the word of man, but to hear the word of God. And Lord, I pray you speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in these next coming weeks as we talk around biblical legacy. Talk to us, Father, in having a multi-generational mentality. That everything we do is bigger than us. It's bigger than me. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you move through this message, you move through these weeks, Lord, so that we may establish a godly legacy for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, everybody says, amen. Give God one more clap, you may be seated. And just tell the person next to you, say, be legacy-minded. Come on, tell them, say, be legacy-minded. That's right. I want to talk the next couple of weeks here about legacy. It sounds a little bit like I'm in a fishbowl if you want to maybe higher the highs, lower the lows. Amen. But I want to talk about legacy and how we all have a part of that because every one of us in this room, watching online, all of us have a family history. Everybody got a family history. Now, for some people, your family history is great. Maybe you're like, I love my family history. You were raised in a home that was, you know, godly and really set you up.
And if that's you, I celebrate you. Like, that's fantastic. Unfortunately, statistics tell us that the majority of people, their family history isn't great. It's actually greatly hurtful. And many of us, a lot of the things that we deal with is because of what was passed to us in the home we were raised, right? And when you think about a family tree, you're like, my family tree, you're probably like, Pastor, I ain't got no family tree. We it's like burnt. We smoked it. It's not a family tree. It's a family bush or a family twig. Come on, somebody, you know? And we're like, you have no idea. And the reality is, many of us in this room, if we're honest, like, we didn't even start at zero. Many of us in this room, you're like, I started at negative. Like, starting zero fresh is cool. Like, many of us were like, we started at negative zero. Like, we actually had to fight things off that were put on us. Addictions or strongholds or traumatic events. And you're like, when I started, you know, your life, you started my life, you're like, I had to break stuff just to start fresh, you know? And I just want to take a quick moment and shave a shout out. Shout out to everybody who started building something in their life when nothing was handed to them. Come on, somebody. You got to clap for them right now. Clap for them. Shout out to the man and the woman. Shout out to the guy who had to fight for what he has today. Shout out to the woman that didn't just give up, but you had to fight to get. Listen, ain't nothing was handed to me. Nothing was good. We had to fight. Come on, somebody, to build something for God and for my family. Shout amen. So we have had the mentality as believers of legacy that I don't have to be a victim. God calls to be have victory. You know? So here's my first point. First point today. I'm gonna give you a first point. I know somebody thinking, you already have a first point? What's going on? You're like, my first point like 30 minutes later? It's my birthday. I'm ready for anything. Come on. First point, write this down. Here it is, right here. Legacy is not about what's lost. Legacy is about what's left. Okay. It's not about what's lost. It's about what's left. It's about having a mentality of saying, you know, I'm not gonna focus on what I lost. Because how many know it's really easy when I start talking about legacy, you'll start thinking about what you didn't have. Like, well, you know, I didn't really have, you know, maybe a dad growing up, and you start thinking about what you lost, so therefore you can't leave a legacy. You know, I really have a home that was encouraging, and you know, I lost this, or maybe you felt you lost some years, and right away what the devil will get you to do is to focus on what you lost. But legacy is not about focusing on what we lost. Legacy is focusing on what's left. I'm saying, you know what? God, I know that this season or this section of my life might have been what this is, but what's left for you to do in my life, Lord? And I want to talk really quick to some of my older generation, okay? Older generation, my over 50s. Come on, somebody. Yeah, give me a shout out. Give me my shout out. My 50s. Because I feel a little older now, you know? 41. I could talk, you know. Okay, there. My older generation's like, you're young, bro. You're 41. I receive it. Thank you. Because this morning my son was like, you're 41? Wow, Dad. Man, thinking about retirement? I'm like, quiet, kid. Come on, somebody. Anyway, he didn't say retirement, but you know what I mean. He's like, yo. But, you know, let me talk to my older crowd. This can enter your mind where you will start to think like, man, it kind of seems like I'm too old to start thinking about legacy. I lost a lot of years. Come on, somebody. The devil will start making you believe like how could I turn things around after I wasted all that time? Like you feel there's not much left. You know, the truth is that could even enter younger people. You know, like some of you, you're like 19, you're like, I'll never find love again. You're like, just look to the young person next to you and say, you'll be all right. Say, you're gonna be all right. You're gonna be all right. I'll never, my life is over. You know, you're like, come on, somebody. You're not careful, you've been saying that in your 2022. I'll never. It's like, you know, man, you got a whole life to live, bro. You know, like, but this is what the devil does. He tries to get you to think that you don't have anything left. That you lost so much that what's left is ruined. It's gone. It's forsaken. But I want to flip that because God can use what's left. You didn't hear what I said. I said God can use what's left. That all God needs, watch this now, all God needs to turn around a family legacy for the glory of God, God only needs one. You didn't hear what I just said? I said God only needs one. God only needs one Joseph to save a whole generation. God only needs one Esther to save a whole generation. God only needs one. He only needs one person to say, you know what? I'll decide. Yes. And God will change a whole generation. Woo. Tell your neighbor, say, God only needs one. And we have to, but for all this to happen, you can't focus on what's lost. You got to focus on what's left. And, you know, for my life, again, I didn't have a dad growing up. Fortunately, my dad walked out, but the only thing he left was negative things, right? And I had to fight uphill. But there's a mentality that tries to enter your mind that you could never get back what was lost. If I want to read your scripture today, like, oh man, this scripture right here. Ooh, I came with some ribeye steak scriptures. Okay, we've been marinating this thing. Watch this now. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. Watch this. This is a scripture. This is a whole scripture right here. It's a whole word. Here's what the Bible says. God says this to all the people that think, I lost so many years that I can never get back what's left. Here's what the Bible says. God says, so I will restore to you the what? Years. Did you listen to what he just said? God said, I'll restore to you the time that you thought you lost and would never get back. I'll restore to you the years. I'll restore all that time. I'll restore to you the years you thought you lost when you were young and didn't have love in your home. I'll restore to you the years of what you thought wasn't set up. God says, I will get all that and I'll give you double for your trouble. I'll restore it to you in a greater way this season. Only God can restore time. Why? Because he created it. Scripture says, I'll restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust has consumed. He says that the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among, he says, I'll restore even the things that the devil sent that try to take you out. God says, I'll restore it all. What you thought you lost in your 20s, God said, I'll restore it. What you think you lost when you were a young kid, God says, I'll restore it. God says, what you thought you lost in your 30s, what you thought you lost, you said, I gave them the best years of my life. God says, no, you didn't. God says, I'll restore the years that Papi Chulo stole. I'll even restore the years where you thought she was a queen, but she ended up being a drama queen. God says, I'll restore those years too. God will restore the years that you felt trauma. God will restore the years that you felt broken. God will restore what you thought you lost in your 20s. The devil had to give it back. Someone shout, give it back. What you lost in your 30s, you can come on, shout, give it back. God says, I'll restore it to you. But watch this now. Only God can restore time. If you're in this room and you felt like everything's lost, listen to me. God will restore the time. But you got to come to him for that legacy. You know, this morning, my wife put together a little thing for my birthday. And my kids, they wrote individual cards. And I'm going to try not to cry. But my daughter, she put a little card, and she put a picture she drew, and it was her in a little dress and holding dad's hand, and dad had hair, praise God. So she's there. And she's like, that's me and you, Dad. And I couldn't help but think of the scripture, because I knew I was preaching to you, and think how God restored what I didn't have. Because growing up, I didn't have that picture. And now my daughter's saying, this is what we have. And God's restoring the years. I don't know who I'm talking to today. I don't know who. Someone shout legacy. He'll restore. And my wife was like, honey, how do you feel? I was like, I'm blessed. I'm just grateful. Beyond my imagination. And listen, the greatest stuff is the stuff you can't buy, guys. It's something that God restores. There's love in the home. There is a legacy of godliness. Are we perfect? No, believe me, we're not perfect. Pastor Marie needs a lot of prayer. Josiah needs a lot of prayer. Come on, somebody, amen. Don't pray for Pastor Josiah. Pray for Josiah. Pray for that guy, okay? But no, we're not. But the point is, we have something, and it may not be perfect, but it's the one thing God gave me. And I'm gonna build that thing. Some will say, restore the years. Only God can restore the years. And so no matter what season of life you're in, you need to recognize that God can restore. And I'll just say really quick to my more seasoned generation, because that's how I feel. They say that your most effective years are when you're between 50 and 70. You ought to clap right there, Molly. Come on, somebody. They say you're 50 and 70. Those are the most effective years of your life because you know what's fake gold. You lived a little. You're like, oh, no. That right there? No, that's fake. That ain't real. You lived a little. You know that if you play dumb games, you get dumb rewards. You're like, I ain't got no time for that because I know. Okay? So don't count yourself out if you're in the 50 to 70. Don't think, I have nothing left. No, you have so much. You know McDonald's wasn't invented until the 50s? 52 years old, Ray Kroc, he invented McDonald's. Okay? Yeah, exactly. There are things God will do in your life that you have no idea, but you got to focus on what's left. Don't focus on what's lost, but say, God, I'm going to leave a legacy for your glory. I'm going to do something, God, that's going to transcend generation upon generation upon generation. Somebody give God a praise right there. Come on, somebody. But you got to start now. Someone say, God only needs one. Now let's read here Ephesians. Watch what Ephesians says, because Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible tells us why God saved us. He said, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. What is it? It's a what? It's a gift from God. He said, salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done so that none of us can boast about it. Verse 10, for we are God's what? Masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Let's all read this last sentence together. 1, 2, and 3. So we can do what? The good things he planned for us when? So we're going to do the good things God planned for us long ago. So in other words, God is saying, there are things I planned for you that were supposed to be legacy to make an impact for future generations. God planned these things. And I want you to know, if you're in this room, God never plans defeat. I don't know who that's for. God never plans defeat. He plans only victory for your life. So if it looks like you're losing, God's not done yet. Okay, God ain't finished yet. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you keep, the devil might come at you one way, he's got to flee seven ways. The Bible says the thief will have to pay back seven times for everything he tried to steal from your life. Come on, somebody, amen. So I gotta trust God that he planned good things for me to do. Now, those things are planned, why? Because I'm supposed to leave a legacy for his glory. Right? I'm supposed to be living legacy for his glory. Now, here, what's the definition of legacy? Let's give you a working definition. You put that slide up. Working definition of legacy. Okay, what is legacy? Legacy is the long-lasting impact of a person's life. What is legacy? That's legacy. It's when you leave an impact on someone's life, long-lasting, generation upon generation. Now, here's the thing about legacy. Look at me real quick. Watch this. Is that you have the ability to leave a wrong legacy. Because all of us in this room, we've been impacted by a person's life negatively. So it's never if you're leaving a legacy, it's what type of legacy are you leaving? And we have to make a decision to say, I'm gonna find it. I'm not gonna leave a legacy of burden, I'm gonna leave a legacy of blessing. I'm not going to leave a legacy of strongholds. I'm going to leave a legacy of spiritual values. I'm not going to leave a legacy of problems. I'm going to leave a legacy of praise. I'm going to leave a legacy of trusting God, not a legacy of worry, anxiety, not a legacy of doubt. But we have to make a decision because legacy is a long-lasting impact. And God has created us, listen to me now, to make an impact in this world. Point number two, write this down. I want you to adopt this, okay? These are my opening thoughts on the series. We're gonna talk about legacy, okay? I'm trying to get you a mindset that you are created to make a difference. Point number two, look at this real quick. Write this down. It's you are created to make a difference. In you, God has put the power to impact future generations. I want you to believe this statement. Like, to walk out of church today knowing that God created you to make a difference. That he put the power, God put power in you to make an impact for future generations. In fact, say this. Say, God created me to make a difference. He's put the power, God has put the power in me to impact future generations. I want you to declare that. I want you to believe that. Now, this is not some humanistic thing. You're not powerful because you're powerful. We're only powerful through God's Holy Spirit power, okay? God's power. So I'm created to make a difference. God has put his power in me to impact future generations. You have the ability to impact future generations. How do you know that's true, Pastor Josiah? Simple. Somebody impacted your life with the hangup you have today. So you don't have to look without, look within, and you'll realize how powerful someone's life is to impact another's. But if we could get a revelation, if we can leave this service, if we could have a renewed mind, if we could have a trust in the Holy Spirit power, and we can realize who we really are, the most dangerous thing you can do is leave this service and figure out who you really are in the kingdom. Oh, the devil doesn't want you to know who you are. He wants you to think your life doesn't matter. He wants you to live, to throw away your life. And God is saying, no, if you knew what I put in you, you would never waste another day of your life. You are a walking, generation-impacting machine. Woo! Mean machine. Come on, somebody. I ain't joking. Okay, let me give you some facts. Man, I'm trying to fire you up today. God created you a walking miracle. Did you know that your eyes have 1 billion receptors where you can see eagles fly in the sky? Your ears have 24,000 fibers that can hear the vibrations and distinguish the sound of my voice versus loud claps. Your body has 500 muscles, 200 bones, 7 miles of nerve fibers. Your heart will beat 36 million times this year. It will produce 600,000 gallons of blood. It will go through 60,000 miles of blood vessels and veins in your body. Your brain weighs 3.5 pounds, some a little less. Anyway, just kidding. Hey now, you know who they are. Just look for them. Yeah, just joking. Your brain weighs 3.5 pounds. It has 4 million pain sensors, 5 million touch receptors, 200,000 temperature gauges so you don't freeze and you don't overheat. If God put that much into your body that's gonna perish, what do you think he put into your spirit that's gonna live for all eternity? He put something in you. Your body, your spirit is a walking, impacting generation machine that's supposed to change this world for the glory of God. Somebody give God some praise up in this service. Tell the person next to you, say, you're a walking machine, man. If God put, listen, he put that much into your physical body, it's going to perish. Imagine what he put into your spirit that's going to last for eternity. And you up there sitting there just spending your life watching Netflix? Nothing wrong with that, but you know what I mean? Well, depending on what you're watching, maybe it's not wrong with it, but you know what I mean? He put all of that into you. You. Because you are created to make a difference. In you, God has put the power to impact future generations upon generation, upon generation, upon generation. You're a walking miracle. Amen. Did you know your thumbprint? No one has a thumbprint like you. And that's not so they can identify you at a crime scene. Come on, somebody, come on. Okay? No. God gave you a unique thumbprint because you're supposed to leave a unique touch on this world that nobody else can leave. But you know, God gave you a unique vocal cord that if I say, hey, Siri, to your phone, it won't reply to me because you have a unique vocal cord so you can yell at your kids. Just kidding. God gave you a unique vocal cord. That's my mom. No, God gave you a unique vocal cord. Why? Because there are certain words you're supposed to release into this world that only you can release over your kids and this world. God gave you, listen, I'm trying to fire you up, man. God, for such a time as this, put you, God gave you a unique iris in your eyeball. You know, nobody else, like, you know, it reads it, do-do-do-do, you see those movies, do-do-do-do. Nobody else's eyeball is like your eyeball. Why? Because there's a unique thing you're supposed to see in this world and a vision you're supposed to have that nobody else. Yes. So good. Yes. God
Let's say it together. God created me to make a difference. In me, God has put the power to impact future generations. You a miracle machine. Me machine. You know? You're. And what are you doing with all that God gave you? Oh, let's go there. What you doing with God gave you? What are you doing? Well, you know, God didn't ever give me nothing. Excuse me? The greatest gift God gave man was life. And he made you in his image. And that's just your physical body. Let's talk about the spirit for a second, because I like this talk. This is where we start going. Some people goes over the head. Other people, you feed on it. Because hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, okay? Your physical body was created the day you were born. Formed in your mother's womb. Actually, read Psalms 139, 14, just so we all have a scriptural reference. He said, I will praise you, for I am what? Fearfully and what? Wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Your mama and your daddy, they created your physical body, but your spirit came. Did you hear what I said? Your spirit came from God. Your mom and your daddy did not give you your spirit. Your spirit only comes from the eternal. Oh, God, help me. The day you were born, it was the birth of your physical body. But your spirit always existed in eternity with God. Oh, you ain't hearing me. This is a heavy talk with some people. You always existed because God only creates the end to the beginning. God breathes the breath of life. Humanity cannot birth spirit. Only God breathes spirit. He sends a soul into this earth. And he will breathe it in this earth, and to God you shall return. That means, watch this now, that when you were born, you weren't born. When you were born, you were sent. Oh God, oh Lord, help me. Here we go. God could have sent you to be born when the nation of Israel was coming into the promised land. But he said, now I'll save her for later. God could have let you be born when Jesus walking with the disciples and he was like, now I'm gonna save him for later. Not yet. God could let you be born and been in the upper room, but God's like, no, I'm gonna save them for later. God says, the temperature's right. California's crazy enough. I'm gonna send this, my child, for such a time. Legacy. And I'm going to send him, and I'm going to let him be in Southern California. Then I'm going to let him find this crazy church called Freedom House with this pastor. Then I'm going to let him, then God lets you get married to the person you're married to. God's like, yeah, they're going to frustrate you enough to sharpen them and teach them forgiveness. And come on. I'm preaching to myself. So God's like, are you tracking? Because there are things, okay, this is deep talk, but I pray that you catch what I'm saying, because we are created to make a difference in you. God has put the power to impact future generations, and he chose when and where you would be born. There are things you choose, but there are certain things you don't choose. You don't get to choose which family you're born into. You don't get to choose what your physical anatomy is. You don't get to choose your spiritual gifts. God gives them. Why? Because it's how he designed it for you. He prepared good works for you to do, which means life is less about deciding and more about discovering. Holy Spirit, show me what you put in me and what I'm supposed to do for your glory. And I'm telling you now more than ever, I know what God has called us to do in Southern California, to bring God's glory, to bring God's glory, to bring God's glory, to establish his kingdom. But you have to find it and say, Lord, I'm created to make a difference. You put in me your power to impact future generations. Yes, as a church, we're going to do this miracle thing, but it's bigger than us. It's so much bigger than us. Like it's so much bigger than this. What God wants to do, God has given up. God is turning over former Walmarts to be the house of God. Come on, somebody. I ain't hating on Walmart. You might find me in one. Come on. But what I am saying is these properties that the giants of the land thought they owned, God says, I'm giving it to God's people. 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 Things that we thought were never possible, God wants to bring a revival. Why? Because he wants to impact future generations so that generations would know. Know what? That God is still the miracle worker. That our families would know to be raised in the things and the miracles of God. Tell your neighbors, say, you were sent. Tell them to say, you were sent. You were sent. You were sent. That's why I love scriptures like this where Nehemiah says this. Go to Nehemiah. Right here, go to the next verse for me if you can. Nehemiah says this. He says, Nehemiah 2:5. He says, send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it. I love it. He's like, you know where my Uncle Smokey is buried? You know where my aunt, you know, the one that was a little wild, come on somebody, who liked to go out on Friday all the time. You know my aunt is buried? Send me to where my ancestors are buried. Send me to where the devil buried my legacy. God help me. Send me to where? Don't just send me to the easy stuff. God, send me to where the devil thinks he has everything buried and God will rebuild it for the glory of God. Come on, somebody. We're rebuilding something. We're rebuilding something for the glory of God. Go to the next verse. I love Isaiah. It says this, similar scripture. He says this, then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah responds, and I said, here I am, Lord. Send Pastor Brian. Come on, so knock it up. Here I am. Send Pastor Louis. Send Pastor Tom. Send Pastor Josiah. Send that guy, Lord. No, he says, here I am. What did he say? Send me. Send me, God. I love this verse because you can listen to Isaiah's humility of, I may not be the most qualified, but you know what? Here I am. I'll do it. You know what? I'll go for it. Here I am. He almost like looked around. He's like, I might not be the first choice, Lord, but send me. God will always choose who he calls. And you don't have to be qualified to be chosen and called. God will use your availability well over your ability. Heart over talent every single day. In fact, we're in a season where God is elevating heart and he's showing people that only operated with talent. He's elevating heart. God looks at the heart. Come on, somebody. He's elevating heart. He says, here I am, send me. And I'm gonna tell you from my life, listen, from my life, this is, if I could share, it's my birthday, so I could talk about whatever I want. Well, maybe not anything. I'm preaching the gospel right now, but you know what I mean. It's my life. I honestly live a life that just believes, God, I'm down. Let's do it. Let's go for it. Like, you know what? Let's do it. And I honestly believe that I am. Now, I understand, I appreciate your prayers and your support and love, but I believe that God chose me because someone else wasn't obedient. In Acts chapter 9, God knocks Paul off his horse and he saves Paul. In Acts chapter 10, and calls Paul to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 10, God asks Peter to minister to the Gentiles. Peter disobeys, so God uses Paul. Point, God always has your backup in case you disobey. Okay, that's heavy for some of y'all. I always live my life that I'm the Paul. I was the backup. And I was just like, you know what, God, I'll do it. And it keeps me sober-minded. That God, here I am, send me. My family tree ain't much. I don't come from a family of, you know, great legacy of preachers. And if you do, that's awesome. You're watching this. God bless you. Continue that history. I don't come from a legacy. And I'm the least qualified. I don't think. Every Sunday I wake up and thinking, Lord, I still get the butterflies in my stomach to do this, you know? Why? Because it's much bigger than all of us. God, I'm down. Simple acts of obedience lead to miracle moments. God, here I am. And I'm praying that we raise up a generation in crazy California, come on somebody, of just says, Lord, I'll obey you right here, right now. Here I am, send me. I'm prepared to leave an impact for future generations, to live for your glory, to establish your kingdom, and to see you move upon this earth. Somebody clap like we believe this is possible. And I believe, listen, now more than ever, we need this type of mentality in men, which, by the way, we had our men's meeting yesterday. It's powerful. Hundreds of men showed up. Come on, clap for that. I love it. Tons of men talking about legacy, which is a miracle in of itself, because a lot of guys sometimes, you know how they are. Pray for the fellas. I love them because I'm one. But, you know, it's like the ladies, women's event. Guys, men's event. Who's going to be there? What are we going to eat? How long is it going to be? I was like, you know, guys, I love you guys. Come on, somebody. Come on, give it up for the guys, because the fellas are taking over. Oh, that's right. Come on, guys. But don't, hey, the guys, we're locomotives. I started a little slow, but once we get moving, yeah, come on. Man on fire from God. You better watch out. Man on fire for God. But back to what I'm saying. Lord, here I am. Send me. There are things that God is going to call you to do that you just have to be obedient. Here I am, Lord, send me. I'll do it, God. And they have legacy in mind. Why? Because God created you to make a difference. In you, he's put the power to literally impact future generations. Why? Point three, write this down. Let me give you the third point. Why? So that future generations would know. It's not about us. It's not about my name. It's about his name. Why? Because future generations need to know who? That God is the victor of this story. So that future generations would know that God is the one who wrote this thing. That your kids and your kids' 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 kids would know. And in case you're in this room and you think, well, I don't have kids, Pastor, I mean, let me tell you something. You can let future generations know. Mother Teresa had no kids, but she let future generations know of the glory of God. Do you know that the most photographed hands in the world, you know those prayer hands that are like that? Those are the hands of Mother Teresa. They're the most photographed hands in human history. They're not the hands of Michael Jordan. They're not the hands of any baseball, Babe Ruth. They're not the hands of Tiger Woods, a golf player. They're the hands of a person who served for the glory of God. Come on, somebody. Never had any kids, but man, stood 4'10". But left generations to know who God is. It's powerful. So the future generations should know this stuff. And we have to live for this glory. Last verse, and I'm out of your way. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. It's the key verse of our church. The Bible reads like this. Actually, I'll just read from the screens here. It says this. It says, and when he had removed him, he raised up for them who? David as king, to whom he also gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse. Let's all read this last sentence. 1, 2, and 3. A man after my own heart who will do what? Do how much of his will? If you got your notes, I want you to circle the word testimony. Testimony. Circle that word testimony. And I finish right here. Let me get the worship team up, everybody out, because I'm telling you, this is going to break into a new level. He says, gave testimony. You need to watch this. This is the only verse in the whole Bible that we read that God testifies about a person. Now, if you've been to an old school revival service, we had a few of those here. We used to call them testimony services. It would be where someone would grab the mic and would be like, I want to testify how good God is. Amen. God did this and God did that. And they would grab the mic and toot that. And we go, and then come on, right? You know, I got to praise. We might do a little of that tonight. I don't know. We'll see. Right? People testify, watch this now, how good God is. But in this scripture, the Bible says God grabbed the microphone. And God was like, I'm going to testify. But God didn't testify about himself. He says, I'm going to give a testimony about a person that touched my heart. Oh, come on, somebody. And God was like, turn the microphone up, Michael the archangel. Turn up the sound, Gabriel, and I'm going to testify, and I want to let the world know of the type of man or woman that I look for, the type of family that I bless, the type of family, the type of young person. God gave testimony and said, David, don't ever forget this. Number one is a man after my heart, not my hand. David will do, never forget this, not some of my will, all my. He's just obedient. And this is how I live my life. God, I just want to touch your heart and I want to do all your will. A legacy that God gives testimony for is found right here. This is what we should let future generations know. Why? Because this only legacy, listen to me now, that transcends time. You can leave your family stuff, but stuff will never change their heart. Now, nothing wrong with having stuff. Ain't nothing wrong. Go and build your business. Go and make income. But if all you leave them is dead presidents, that's exactly what they're going to have, a dead life. That stuff fades away. I want to leave them more than that. Spiritual values. A family after the heart of God. A marriage after the heart of God. A young person after the heart of God. A church after the heart of God. That won't do some of your will, God. We want to do all your will, Lord, upon this earth. Lord, raise up families after the heart of God that would do all of their will. The Silva family is a family after the heart of God that will do all of your will. Come on, somebody. The Smith family is a family after the heart of God who will do all your will. I don't know what your last name is. The Fernandez family, the Rodriguez family, the Johnson family, whatever your last name is, because this house is a house of legacy for the glory of God. Amen. Stand to your feet.
Hey, thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor to bring you God's word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out, because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.